Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world.
And it's time for humanity to stand up in the info war and say, I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this, but you want to fight, you better believe you've got one!
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
The greatest
dude,
he has been so canceled.
Alex is right about far more than he's wrong.
How much heat have you gotten for being friends with him and having him on the show?
A lot, but I don't pay attention.
Okay, yeah,
I can justify it. I'll tell you, that f***ing guy is right about a lot of shit.
He's a wild entertainer and a brilliant man.
Isn't he fantastic?
And no one is perfect.
Oh. I've known Alex for like more than 20 years. I've hung out with that guy. We've been hammered together so many times. It's like, that is the most misunderstood guy on the planet.
Alex has been right on for over a decade.
Shout out to Alex Jones. We love you.
Alex Jones is a journalist and member of the media. End of story.
Recently, many of the biggest tech companies joined in a coordinated effort to censor content from broadcaster Alex Jones.
There's a reason why the mainstream media calls a guy like him a bomb thrower or a conspiracy theorist, because they're in fear of the truth that he does actually bring out.
Why are the most powerful companies in the world suddenly so threatened by an independent radio show host in Texas that they're willing to lose business in order to make him shut up?
He runs a media organization. And so when the January 6th committee subpoenas him, they're basically violating our First Amendment protections.
The Department of Justice says not only is it investigating what happened inside the Capitol, but the conspirators and instigators who may have started this whole thing.
Now the committee's decided to shut down one of the most popular journalists on the right, Alex Jones. Yes, journalist.
The House committee investigating the deadly assault on the U.S. Capitol is subpoenaing Trump allies Roger Stone and conspiracy theorist Alex Jones.
The committee says he helped organize the rally ahead of the riots.
Alex Jones isn't simply innocent of inciting crime on January 6th. Alex Jones actively worked to prevent crimes from taking place on January 6th.
Let's start marching to the Capitol! Notice, by God, you understand, we're not burning buildings down or shooting cops. We're building America up! We're here to take our rightful country back peacefully!
We're not running interference for Alex Jones, and we're not guessing about it. We happen to know this for a fact.
We need to not have the conversation with the police. We're going to make that the story.
Alex Jones is a journalist the same as Brian Stelter and Jake Tapper and Don Lemon are.
Absolutely. I was actually about to say the same thing.
Some people are going to be like, don't insult Alex that way.
Well, yeah. Alex Jones never lied us into a war.
Right.
True.
Alex Jones never bought the Russia hoax, not for a second. And if Jones sat down with Tony Fauci, he would ask him real questions, just as journalists are supposed to do. He wouldn't just slobber all over it.
Epstein, he was way ahead with that. He told me about Epstein a fucking decade ago. Alex detailed all of that.
Alex Jones, InfoWars. The media has tarnished him with all sorts of name-calling, conspiracy theorist, bomb thrower. The one thing that I know about this gentleman, Alex Jones, is that he loves this country. He is as smart as a whip. He absolutely believes in what he believes in. And he also does his research and his homework.
Coolly compare Hotez's views on COVID to, say, Alex Jones's views on COVID and ask yourself, who's saner? It's not even close.
He's incredibly detailed in his research. He loves this country. He is a patriot. And he's somebody who we better listen to, or others in this country better listen to.
Is it a stretch to say that Tucker Carlson is the new Alex Jones?
There are no vaccine passports. That's insane. It's Alex Jones stuff. And by the way, just so you know, as proof, if you want to get a job, you'll need your vaccine papers.
I've been on air more than 25 years. And long before I started selling high-quality vitamin D3 8 years ago, I've been promoting people taking vitamin D3 because it is essential. And if you're not getting sunshine every single day, whether you're black or white or Hispanic, it doesn't matter. Your body will be susceptible and wide open to so many of the threats that are out there. It's just like you need oxygen, you die in 4 minutes without oxygen. You die in 5 or 6 days without water, you die in a month without food. Well, that's because these key minerals and elements and vitamins are in the food that you need. And one of the most important for your immune system and your overall health is vitamin D3. We have the highest quality in winter sun with vitamin K that boosts all your body's defenses, available right now for 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com. Everybody, old, young, black, white, you need vitamin D3. This is the best quality out there, and it funds the InfoWar 50% off.
You are either with the Republic or against it. Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Broadcasting worldwide, and Curtis Yarvin is in studio with us. Mencius Mole Bug. I've heard a lot about his work, read a lot of his writings over the years. He's a very interesting person. He's here visiting in Austin. And I'm not going to go over the software he's written or the books or articles or all the things he's done. You've worn a lot of hats here, and it's good to have you. People can find you at graymirror.substack.com. That's Gray Mirror, and that's Curtis Yarvin. All right, good to have you here. And you're also known as an absolute monarchist, huh?
I am an absolute monarchist. I'm absolutely an absolute monarchist, and I will defend that standpoint. I'm America's leading monarchist blogger.
Wow. And you were telling me you had family in the Foreign Service, you know about the deep state,
yeah.
This whole Russian thing. We should probably go there first.
Let's go there first.
Give me your view on this escalating situation, who you think the bad guys are, or why you think both sides are doing it, what you think of the massing Russian troops. Obviously, that they want them to capitulate, they're going to launch a much larger, devastating attack. The media is saying the Russians are losing. I'm sorry, they're not losing. They have been doing pinpoint strikes to try to get the regime to stand down. Instead, our media is saying, peasants, go out and fight the Russian military. You're going to beat them, when all that's going to happen is one of the biggest bloodbaths since World War II. What's your view?
My view is more or less exactly that. My view is like this is a war between two countries that are a very great distance from us. I don't have the feeling of having a dog in the fight. I don't think this country has a dog in the fight. But this government has a dog in the fight. The USG, the U.S. government definitely has a dog in the fight. That dog is Ukraine. Now, you probably heard the Victoria Nuland call.
I have.
You know,
says screw the EU, screw Russia.
Yeah, and she's like basically picking the members of the next Ukrainian government. And, you know, sort of growing up as a Foreign Service brat, my dad was in the Foreign Service, which, in case you don't know, is the it's the State Department. It's the sort of U.S. agency that goes around.
Everybody talks about the CIA. The CIA is like the janitor. The State Department actually runs things.
Yeah, it's the State Department is really the center of things. And, you know, it's like, you remember, you know, Julian Assange came out, and kind of one of his first things, he's like takes on the DOD with this, like, you know, targeting video, and everyone's, all the journalists are approved. They all clap. Right. And I'm like, oh, man, you know, anyone can take on the DOD. And then he comes out with these cables and he takes on the State Department.
And I'm just, we knew it was it for him then.
I'm just like this. Also, part of my first sort of exposure to the reality of the situation is I'm growing up, I'm a Foreign Service brat. And my dad was stationed in Portugal, and he used to use me to proofread his unclassified cables. And I'm reading these cables, and I'm like, you know, the relationship between these governments is not a relationship of equals. I'm like, we have a treaty with Portugal that basically says if Portugal is attacked, America will defend it. But if America is attacked, the Portuguese will defend us. And I'm like, no, that's not really, like, you know, like, do we need Portugal? Do we? And so you sort of realize that the purpose of the U.S. Embassy in Portugal is not to relate as a peer-to-peer thing with the Portuguese government. It's actually to supervise the Portuguese government. And this is basically a satellite state relationship. This is an empire, like so many empires in the past, basically kind of masquerading as an alliance.
And when did America become the new global British Empire?
Well, after World War One.
Phasing in from World War One to World War Two.
Phasing in from World War One to World War Two. So, you know, in World War One, of course, kind of we come in late, and then we're like, we don't want to be part of this League of Nations thing, but sort of American kind of diplomats and elites had already gotten this taste of kind of world power. After World War One, the financial balance of power shifts from the U.S. From the UK to the US. And so you basically have, you know, the US becomes the world's biggest creditor nation and can kind of jerk people around financially, which is, of course, what we're doing in Russia right now. And I have serious concerns about, like, you know, if you say, okay, you have these foreign reserves, you have $600 billion, right, in reserves, except guess what? They're on our banks and we'll just close your account. We'll freeze your account like you're a Canadian trucker or something. Right. And it's like, well, how do you expect people to think about reserves after doing something like that? You're just like, this is an IOU that we can just cancel. Like,
absolutely. So the big central banks are discrediting themselves with all of this micromanaging social credit score. And unless you're a pure dictatorship like China, it's not going to work.
Yeah. And you're basically saying, you're sort of doing two things at the same time, because we in the U.S. basically eat off of our dollar hegemony, right? You know, this is a country that runs like a $1 trillion trade deficit, which means $1 trillion of red ink every year that's basically going to buy things that are made in China that we can't make anymore. And, you know, where's that money coming from?
And there's an understanding of that globally and a lot of moves away from it. What do you think is going to happen? Who are the main power players? And what do you think this situation in Russia is going to trigger?
Well, you know, imagine if you're Russia and especially China looking at this. And both Russia and China run trade surpluses, like, you know, which basically running a trade surplus as a country, that's like a company turning a profit. Running a trade deficit is like a country making a loss. And so you have this country that's basically losing, you know, a ton of money every year that doesn't make anything anymore. And you're dealing with these autocratic powers, Russia and China, that are sort of rising exporting nations. You know, Russia, of course, exports mainly natural resources. You know, they keep all of Western.
So folks are aware that the U.S. is trying to boss everybody around while it has this giant deficit and they don't.
Right. And it's like you're trying to do too many things at the same time. It's like you can run this deficit and you can sort of eat for free off of dollar hegemony. And then you're just like, we're going to like boss everyone around using our dollar hegemony. And it's like
And my concern is trying to force Russia to leave the International Bretton Woods Agreement and monetize their debt like we've been doing, isn't going to hurt Russia. It's going to hurt us. And they're talking about defaulting on their sovereign debt right now.
Yeah. And, you know, there's sort of all kinds of sort of countermeasures that, you know, Russia can play where they're like, okay, Germany, you want gas? Send us gold. You know, we're not sending.
So you're a smart guy. You think about this. How do you think? What are your main concerns? What do you think is about to happen? Because I don't like war, but I get NATO is moving weapons up against Russia. They told them for 8 years, stop it. And now Putin's getting ready to literally, you want to call it war crimes, he's going to get ready to flatten cities if they don't surrender. So as much as I don't want war with Russia, this is going to take the world very close to that.
Yeah, I think that it's sort of hard to understand. I mean, like, one of the things you got to understand about the way that the State Department and the kind of U.S. oligarchy works is there's no sort of central actor. There's no kind of central brain. There's no one.
They come up with consensus.
There's no one in charge. There's basically no one in charge. There's a bunch of kind of independent actors who are thinking in this kind of independent way about their own careers.
That's how the CIA works, too.
Yeah, that's how it all works. There's no center. There's no little man behind the curtain. And so there's basically Ukraine policy is being driven by a bunch of people in the State Department who want to feel important, who want to, you know, to advance their careers just like anyone else. and, you know, they sort of can't really step back. You know, no one ever fires himself. No one is ever like, okay.
And may I suggest they advance their career by not getting a nuclear war?
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, remember the Arab Spring? Right, you know, remember
that was all their idea.
Than that, nobody who's like, oh, let's start a civil war in Syria and Libya. No one's career suffered, right? Because they mattered.
Anderson Cooper was in Baghdad. Look how wonderful this is. They're burning everything down.
Yeah, no, I honestly have to confess, Alex, I believed in the Iraq War. It was that long ago. I was for it. I was a neocon, and you know, I was like, we can civilize them. We can turn them into West Germany.
Well, you don't look that old. Hell, I was pretty young in 2003, but I was against it. So it's youth can be. We can ignore that mistake. How old were you in 2003?
How old was I in 2003? I was three. So yeah, this hair makes me look younger than I am.
No, that's right. That's good.
But
I can take some of your hair as a transplant. All my hair is giving up the ghost. All right, stay there, Curtis Garvin. We're going to get into, you're an absolute monarchist. You know, Paul Joseph Watson is a guest of this show, and he still does some work with us. He's a monarchist now.
That's awesome.
He gets invited over there and hangs out with him. I'm not kidding. He actually eats, like, steaks with the queen and stuff. Oh, Paul, I'm giving Paul secrets out. I can talk about it. I'm not a monarchist, so.
No, you're a Democrat. You're a believer in
Trump. No, I don't believe in the mob either. I believe in a republic. Be right back.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com. No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast from Sunny Bay.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
I need to file my tax return right the first time. How can I be sure to do that?
Doing your taxes yourself? Using e-file is the best way to file an accurate tax return. Mistakes can delay your refund, so spend an extra few minutes making sure you can file an accurate return the first time around. Avoid common errors by spelling all names correctly and using correct Social Security numbers. Double-check your bank account numbers for direct deposit and double-check your math, too. Oh, yeah. Don't forget to sign and date your return.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Well, having fascinating talks here in the breaks with Curtis Yarvin about his view on absolute monarchy or monarchism and so many other great terms like the Dark Enlightenment and so much more. He's quite the prolific thinker out there, and it's great to have him here with us. As much as I want to get into Russia and the current war there and where this is going, let's get into your monarchist views and, you know, some of your ideas. You were saying some wild stuff during the break.
All right, yeah. So, you know, if you go back to Aristotle, who basically invented political science as we know it, Aristotle tells you that there's three forms of government. There's monarchy, which is the rule of one. A lot of people, when they, you know, think about monarchy, sort of make two kinds of essential mistakes. First of all, they look at the monarchies we have today, like Elizabeth II, which is basically, she's not actually in charge of the government of England.
She's a vestigial thing.
Yeah, she's a vestigial thing. She's a crown Kardashian, basically. She's a celebrity. And, it's a beautiful thing. But if you compare Elizabeth II to Elizabeth I, you're talking about a whole different thing. And it's like if you try to imagine the UK without Elizabeth II, without a monarchy, you know, same thing, same country, life goes on. Try to imagine Elizabethan England without Elizabeth I. You're like, I don't know what it is, but it's not Elizabethan England. Right. And so, you know, and monarchy is basically the system of government that has ruled the whole human race for 98% of human history. It's kind of the default. And, you know, another way to think about the question is to sort of notice that basically anything that works, any functioning institution, it's a restaurant, it's a car company, it's a monarchy. You drive a car, that car was made by an organization governed by a single person, a CEO, that's a monarchy. You go to a restaurant, it's run by a chef. You watch a movie, it's directed by a director. You know, you see, you know, you send a package in UPS, that's a monarchy. You send a package in USPS, that's an oligarchy. And so you sort of noticing the kind of difference between, like, if you try to run, and I've been a CEO, and if you try to run any organization by committee, you know, management by committee, that's kind of a watchword for, like, this is going to fail. Like, imagine, you know, you're running a company, you're running InfoWars, you try to run InfoWars with, like, a Congress and a Supreme Court or something. I mean, it would be a disaster.
You spend all your time just having those meetings.
You spend all your time just having those meetings, right?
But what about the North Korea argument? Because that's a third generation communist monarchy, and it's not doing too well.
Oh, it's absolutely not doing too well. And the thing you've got to remember about basically history for the last 200 years, ever since basically the Congress of Vienna, is that we've lived in a unipolar Anglo-American world for 200 years. And so any state, any regime that is basically positions itself against that world and its sort of tendency to subvert and kind of destroy all other competing forces, whether it's, you know, Kaiser Wilhelm II or Gaddafi or whatever, or Kim Jong-un, is that they're basically at war against...
By the way, we'll have to go in the next hour. We can do a 10-hour podcast because you're a smart guy. I'm not saying I agree with monarchy or whatever, but you're right. People don't know about the Conference of Vienna. They don't know about when the British Empire became hyper-dominant and merged with the U.S., and that has created a type of entropy or stagnation that's not been good. I want America to be powerful, but the entropy of that has actually dominated us as well. People inside the empire is enslaved as people outside the empire. So elaborate on the Conference of Vienna and then move forward with what you're saying.
So basically, like, if you're resisting that Anglo-American force, like, the last kind of peer competitor is Napoleon. Napoleon is a monarch, right? Napoleon loses. And, you know,
Lord Wellington.
Yeah, yeah. And ever since then, basically, it's like, so you're talking about Kim Jong-un. You're like, this is a rebel against the global order. And he's running this rebellion out of North Korea. And that's going to be like you're rebelling against the whole world. That's going to be really ugly. So if you compare like Kim Jong-un to like Louis the 14th or Frederick the Great or something, there you're sort of seeing, you know, kind of glorious monarchies from the old days. And it's like living in Louis the 14th's France wasn't like living in North Korea.
Exactly. A monarch can't be powerful unless they're expansionist and bringing wealth into the empire.
Well, they have to be sovereign. They have to be independent. And Kim Jong-un lives in a world governed by hostile powers.
That's right. He's a viceroy of the Chinese.
Yes, yes. But even the Chinese are basically sort of on the back foot. They're
viceroys of Goldman Sachs and BlackRock.
They live in an American-dominated world, and they know it, and they're basically a product of the 20th century, and like they're like, how do we become independent? And even China finds it really, really hard to be independent of the deep state. And what you're seeing right now with these sanctions on Russia, China and Russia are, of course, natural allies, but the Chinese are like, hey, maybe we can't do business with Russia because America will sanction us. That's basically sort of the power dynamic there. And you know, it's really...
I want to get to that, but back to the absolute monarchy. So what would that look like? Because if you're going to follow an absolute monarchy, is that for certain areas of the world? Or is there one global monarchy you should take over?
I think one global superstate is a really bad idea. And that's one thing I hate about basically the American empire is this sort of superstate model.
You need firewalls.
Yeah, you need firewalls. You can't have the whole planet putting all of its eggs in one basket because anything can go wrong, anything can go bad.
But isn't a country putting its eggs in one basket with a monarchy?
Yeah, but a country is one basket by definition, right? And so, yeah, you have to basically put your egg, you know, Mark Twain had this great line, put your eggs in one basket and watch that basket. Right now we have all of our eggs in one basket, which is kind of this sort of deep state, what I call the cathedral, kind of the kind of media university complex. And it's like when people look at this media university complex, they're like, oh, we have all these different newspapers. We got the Post, we got the Times, but they're all speaking with the same voice, like Harvard and Yale.
No, exactly. It's like they're all in the church reading off the same hymn book.
They're synoptic, as they say, of the Gospels, right? You know, and so you're like, hey, wait a second, you know, this is one institution, it doesn't have one center, but it has one set of ideas. And it's like, if you believe that this institution kind of naturally converges on the truth, and it's always as close to the truth as it can get, that's one thing. But when you start to see it, like, make really huge, silly mistakes, like, and
it's like a franchise. It's like McDonald's is everywhere, but it's the same.
Yeah, exactly, exactly, exactly. And so, you know, the thing is, basically, when you think about monarchy, you're like, okay, well, you're putting your eggs in one basket, but we are putting our eggs in one basket right now. It's just the Harvard.
Well, then the successful monarchies do is like letter of mark and stuff. They elevate people that have success.
Yeah.
And then that's what they do. But you can say, oh, that's mean. Well, no, that lifts everything up.
Napoleon had this line, you know, every government is safe in which the best people are in power. And, you know, that was true in the early days of the American kind of post-war global order. The people who were running it were just amazing. You know, they were, and it was really, it made a lot of sense for other countries to look to America and say, how should we do things? Right. And today it's
but
like
now we have the great grandchildren, the spoiled brats of those people running things.
That's right. That's right. And so Afghanistan is like, hey, America, how should we do things? And America is like,
cut your son's balls off.
Cut your son's balls off. Right. You know, and it's like, well, and
as if they didn't know they'd rebel against that.
Yeah. I mean, and it's like I feel really bad for the Ukrainians because basically of all these really good, dear, sweet people in Ukraine that are basically like, I want to do things the American way. America will protect us. The American way works well. And it's like, no.
We don't want to kill any of the women.
Like, we can't do that anymore. Like, we can't, you know, we can't provide those people with protection. And so they're just like, it's really sad.
And they got goaded. I'm sure you've seen the Schiff clip where it's like, we got to fight the Russians in Ukraine now. Weapons. And they wonder why the Russians attack.
Yeah, exactly. They got, you know, like, they got goaded into this.
Let's talk about it when we come back. This is Big News.
I stay on air selling high-quality products that you need, that you want, that you're going to be happy with. That's why you come back and buy products from me again. It's a symbiotic relationship. I promote liberty. I promote freedom. I fight the globalists. And I'm able to do that because you buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. And listen, all the products are great. But when it comes to high-quality, storable food, in an inflationary system with major supply chain breakdowns, this is an absolute 360 win, a no-brainer. And they've got high-quality, storable food ready to ship to you right now. The great folks at My Patriot Supply, exclusively at preparewithalex.com, discounted. So again, beat inflation, be prepared, fund the InfoWar. The only way you lose is not taking action at InfoWarStore.com or preparewithalex.com right now. This is high-quality, storable food. This is how you beat inflation. Get yours today. It's ready to ship, but I wouldn't wait because prices are about to go up because inflation is exploding.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nanocolloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nanocolloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name is Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's
800-932-5140 because there is a war on for your mind.
Well, Curtis Yarvin is definitely an interesting person. I'm glad he's in studio with us today in Austin, Texas. And I got to ask a lot of questions here. He was getting into Russia during the break, but just in general, what are other things you're thinking about and working on right now?
Well, you know, we have this oligarchical kind of institutional system here in America, and I'm very radical with my perspective on it because I kind of grew up inside it. You know, I grew up in the Foreign Service. I went to an Ivy League school, and I think there's a lot of people who believe these institutions can be saved.
Well, that's right. You went to Johns Hopkins, Brown University, and University of Berkeley. So you You're saying basically an oligarchy is like a distributed monarchy of idiots.
Yeah, right. I mean, the thing is, the power of all governments is the same. All governments have ultimately absolute power. If they sort of give you rights, that's their choice eventually. And what we have today is a sort of distributed network of, like, prestige. And what matters is, like, when you're a journalist for the New York Times, you're someone whose opinion matters. When you're a professor at Harvard, your opinion counts. You have prestige. You're respected. And in the past, like, what's been happening sort of ever since this kind of, we're still living, I mean, the global American empire is basically the New Deal, right? And so you're living in this empire created by our grandfathers, and those people were very, very capable and very, very competent, and they knew what they were doing. You don't have to like it. Maybe you like it, maybe you don't. But, you know, sort of prestige and competence have been drifting away from each other. And the idea that you're going to get that to drift back is really, 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 like, it's hard for me to fathom how that could even possibly work.
Well, the establishment works for the Common Core instead of literally destroy knowledge. What elite would want to make their minions dumb? That ends up making them weak. It's just horrible.
Yeah,
horrible thing.
Right. And so the question is, you know, what's the cure? How do you basically solve this elite? And I think most, you know, Americans and probably most InfoWars watchers basically believe in a kind of ultimately democratic solution to this, sort of the people rising up and taking back their government. I'm very pessimistic about that. I don't believe the American people are really strong enough to do that. I think that basically reconstructing, this is kind of why I'm a modern monarchist, is that basically if you look at what it takes to clean up a system like this, it's a monarchy. And so you basically have to shut down these institutions, Alex. Like, there's no other way. You can't basically change the way this country is governed and have Harvard and the New York Times exist as they exist today.
You bring up two really big areas that I want to get your view on. Definitely the left worships itself and the establishment and the right-wing neocons because you're on CNN, because you're on the New York Times. Even though their readership's way down and their prestige is gone, they're a joke, their minions still celebrate it and act like it's God, and so they're in their own crazy bubble carrying out policies that actually accelerate their demise. So I agree that they're an incompetent.
Right. They're incompetent, but they're completely in charge. It doesn't take people reading the New York Times. It doesn't take mass readership of the New York Times for the New York Times to matter, because it matters to the people.
Because the ruling class takes it as the Bible.
It is the Bible.
It's the cult screed, like out of Jim Jones' mouth. Sure, there's only 1,000 Jim Jones followers about to drink cherry Kool-Aid with cyanide, but the ruling class is in a cult, and when they order it, they drink it. They ordered nukes to be launched, it'll happen.
I'll tell you a story from inside the deep state. So my stepfather actually worked for Biden for some time, and he studied political science at Harvard in the 60s. And one day he was taking a seminar from one of the great old wise men of U.S. foreign policy, McGeorge Bundy. And Bundy walks in the room in the seminar, and there's a newspaper strike at the time. Like, the newsboys are on strike. This used to happen all the time. Bundy comes in the seminar, and he's like, well, you know, Washington can't function right now because our interoffice memo service is down, by which he means the New York Times. Right. And so you have this agency. It's really a government agency. If you think of the New York Times as a government agency, it kind of all makes sense.
No, it's true. It only communicates to the cult.
Yeah, right. And its importance is sort of that internal communication. So if you're basically like thinking about how do you win, how do you beat these people? It's like, you know, how do you beat Saddam Hussein? You have a decapitation strike. But how do you decapitate an oligarchy? You're trying to
a bunch of mentally ill, dumbed down people that can't even wipe their own ass, but they're still in charge. And that's what's happening is they're like, oh, he's going to be on CNN. Stop it. Stop it. It's like 100,000 viewers. I don't even care. But they're flipping out because it's their memo. It's their system. And so they don't even get the whole world's moved on from them. And they're still back over here fighting over it.
They're still in charge. They're still in charge. And they'll be in charge until someone takes that power away from them.
So where do you see it going? I mean, pessimistically, being run by these people sounds like nuclear war.
I think it lasts. I don't think the world has the energy for nuclear war right now. You know, it's like I was having this argument at a symposium with, do you know Mike Anton, the Flight 93 election mm-hmm. guy? So I'm having this debate with Mike Anton on stage at the symposium, and he's like, it's all going to collapse, it's all going to fail, it's all going to fall apart tomorrow. And I'm like, Mike, you were such an optimist. Like, that's such optimism.
Yeah, the
I'm
entropy like, will just keep me generating.
You know, I'm like, what does the future look like if we stay on the course we are on today? It looks like the third world. It looks like Mexico. It looks like Chile. It looks like, ultimately, Venezuela.
Idiocracy.
Idiocracy and just, like, decay. And you know what? You know who's always going to do fine is the rich are always going to do fine. The rich in Venezuela and Mexico, they live in beautiful, great ways. They're absolutely fine with a third of the country being run by drug cartels. And, you know, they're insulated from that. But ordinary people are not going to be insulated from that. Ordinary people, if this, like, insane thing of, like, overusing our dollar hegemony sort of backfires on us. I mean, the U.S. has no manufacturing. No manufacturing.
Well, couldn't this Russia thing backfire?
Yeah, this Russia thing could backfire because basically, you know, as soon as China and Russia sort of realize that, you know, hey, our, like, foreign reserves are just an IOU from the Fed that can just be canceled basically at any point, like we're doing to Russia right now, it's sort of only a matter of time before they're like, okay, wait a second, what do we need the West for?
And well, it's like NFTs. It's what you believe. It's like bottle caps for trading.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the dollar or cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrency and NFTs at least have something compared to the dying dollar. I mean,
the dollar. Yeah, I mean, the dollar is like, you know, the dollar established this hegemony when the U.S. was the world's leading creditor nation, when the world's was leading manufacturing nation. Let me tell you a story, which is if you drive down I-95 on the East Coast and you cross the Susquehanna at Trenton, there's a big sign on the bridge that says Trenton makes, the world takes. This was actually a slogan coined by my own great-great-grandfather in a contest. And you look at this slogan and it makes no sense at all, because what the hell does Trenton make? It doesn't make anything. But when that slogan was coined, New Jersey was the China of its day. They made everything there. You know, it was the center of world manufacturing. And I look at this now and I'm like, what should that sign say? And I you know, it should say Trenton spends, the world lends. Right. And like, how long are you going to be able to keep that up? And the thing is, if you basically lose that financial hegemony, the U.S. is Argentina. What do we export? Crops.
Well, let me talk about the ruling Western Anglo-American establishment's biggest weakness when we come back. I want to get your take on it. They're at war against independence. They want everyone to operate under their mental control. They've got a very pedophilic, pervert, anti-family stripe down their back. And so they're busy attacking the Midwest and the South and other rural areas that are the most productive. So they're busy trying to tell the world what to do while they attack their own people and look for a civil war to secure their political power, when if they wouldn't have started all these fights, they wouldn't be in so much trouble. Curtis Yarvin's our guest. We'll come back and talk to him. And the best place for people to find your works on Substack?
GrayMirror.substack.com. That's Gray with an A, the American way.
All right, and you know our evil website. Only way it's promoted is you, Infowars.com. And all the videos going viral is Band.Video. The cure to the globalist disease lives at Band.Video. But you can't share Band.Video on Twitter or Facebook and places. It's blocked. So BattlePlan.News is the new site till they ban that in a week. BattlePlan.News. Stay with us. We've got a battle plan.
This view was worth a hike.
Right? And it's a good way to stay on top of my health.
Yes, I'm Cologuard, a prescription colon cancer screening option for people 45 plus at average risk. Have you screened for colon cancer?
Not yet.
Don't wait. It's more treatable when caught in early stages.
Tell me more.
Cologuard is non-invasive and it's used at home. It detects altered DNA in your stool to find 92% of colon cancers.
92%?
Yep, even those in early stages.
This was seen in a clinical study with patients 50 and older. Any positive result should be followed by a diagnostic colonoscopy. False positive and negative results may occur. Cologuard is not a replacement for colonoscopy in high-risk patients. Do not use if you have had adenomas, have inflammatory bowel disease and certain hereditary syndromes, or a personal or family history of colon cancer.
Most insured patients pay $0. Ask your provider or an online prescriber if Cologuard is right for you, or visit Cologuard.com.
I'm in.
Are you ready to retire? Inflation is picking up, markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. The stock market goes up and down is beyond your control. But you're at a point in your life where you can't afford to make big financial mistakes. I'm Al Iberoa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Our investment strategy allows you to go up with the stock market, lock in your gains, and when the stock market goes down, your investment won't lose a dime. This works for your investments, savings at a brokerage firm, or even money at a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500, and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and literally never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click follow, share, give, and pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Curtis Yarvin's our guest here on the Alex Jones Show. I'll host a little bit the next hour and hand the baton to the great Gerald Celente here on this live Monday edition. We really are praying for peace with this conflict, this inter-Slavic civil war going on, because Russia is jealous of NATO's attempt to take over its consort. We'll continue to break all that down. So, Curtis Yarvin, who do you see as the new monarchs of our age? Can't have one globally. So I guess Putin does kind of want to be the new czar. He's kind of setting up a monarchy.
He is. I mean, you know, Putin is in some ways, you know, there's this famous old saying about Russia. Russia is never as strong as she looks. Russia is never as weak as she looks. And like Putin, you know, that sort of fits Putin to a T, because he's not really as strong as a czar. He's got a lot of internal constituencies he's got to follow. And, of course, the deep state is very aware of that and kind of trying to break him down with those things. And, you know, the extent to which, if you're Putin, you feel like you're on the defensive is, like, really, you can't understate that. Like, he feels that he's defending himself against the world.
I think that makes him stronger.
Yeah, I mean, that's where he's cornered, right? You know, and sort of all of these, any regime that sort of doesn't kind of feel the pleasure of Washington, that's like, you know, Washington, you know, it's like, you know, Gaddafi made this sort of tremendous mistake where he's like, so I have this nuclear program. I'm going to, like, put it in a box.
He groveled, gave them everything they wanted, and they literally raped him to death with a bayonet.
That is correct. Or some other sharp object. It wasn't pretty. And that's exactly right. He basically, he sort of opened himself to them, and it was like dealing with a predator, you know, the frog and the scorpion, right? You know, basically, Gaddafi was the frog.
He was the story. The scorpion says, "Give me a ride." And
Yeah. The frog is, swimming across the water. This is so, there's sort of so much of, like, the U.S. deep state in this story. The frog is like, "Oh, I'm going to cross the river." The scorpion's like, "Give me a ride." Halfway across, the scorpion stings the frog, right? And the frog is like, "If I die, you die." And the scorpion is like, "I can't help it. It's my nature. I'm a scorpion." Right. And so Gaddafi sort of opens himself up and he's like, OK,
he is the frog.
And he's basically
like, the NATO scorpion couldn't help it.
Why would they sting me? Why would they? What are they going to get by doing it? And the thing,
and that's the key. There's not logic to it.
There's not logic to it because there's no single basically actor there. And so as soon as what happens is, here's what happens. Gaddafi opens up. He's like, okay, I'm going to be part of the world economy.
I'll invest all the money where you say. He didn't just give up the WMDs. He bent over.
He bent over, right. And the net result is, here's what happens in Libya when Gaddafi bends over. Before, you know, there's an American embassy operating in Tripoli. If you want to matter in Libya, you got to matter to the Gaddafi family. Gaddafi's a monarch. You got to go and, like, you know, curtsy before him. Suddenly, when there's an American embassy in Tripoli, there's two power centers in Libya, right? And so you're looking at a situation where if you want to matter in Libya, maybe you're like, oh, you know, I want to like cozy up to the U.S. embassy. And the U.S. embassy sort of does that for a living. They're like, oh, OK, you know, we're in touch with all the Libyan dissidents. And then the Libyan dissidents are like, OK, maybe we're Islamists, but we're moderate Islamists.
So they bring Al-Qaeda back in to please the U.S.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, we're going to have a little rebellion. How about some air support? And Gaddafi is like, wait a second, like, why do you want to start a civil war in Libya? And the scorpion is like, because I can, because it's my nature.
They wanted to push blacks out.
Yeah, I mean.
And then he said, no, we're not going to blow the black people up.
Yeah, I mean, the crazy, crazy stuff is going on in that country now. Like, they have slave markets, they have a permanent civil war.
And literally, Hillary Clinton did that.
Remember I came.
I saw he died.
Yeah. It was really like, and it was like that, you know, that specific moment was just so.
And Russia, Putin quotes that. He said, the last straw for me was Libya. You're not doing this with us.
Yeah. And basically.
And I'm not even defending Putin, but I get what's happening.
That's right. And that's, I think that's the right approach to this conflict. It's like. You know, I don't.
He's watching blow up all these countries and get away with it.
I don't feel I have a dog in the fight. I'm not rooting for Putin, you know, but at the same time, I like understand where he's coming from. And he's basically like, if we let the U.S. set up this kind of anti-Russia in Ukraine, which is what they're trying to do, then basically like everything.
Well, that's the thing is they're always comparing Putin to Hitler. It's the Russians that lost 90% of the troops beating Hitler. The U.S. was involved and not poo-pooing it. Both my grandfathers were involved, but we were a very small role, less than 10% compared to the Russians. The Russians fought the lion's share of the war. They lost 20 million people. And so they're saying, oh, he's Hitler. But Hitler was expanding borders and grabbing countries. Putin's not been doing that. They've been losing land, and he's saying, don't push anymore. So for the Russians, this is a repeat of World War II, and they're saying, we're not going to wait till you're 50 miles from Moscow this time.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, both in World War I and World War II, basically, sort of the attack on Russia involved creating the sort of independent state out of Ukraine, which is, it's a little bit of an, you know, sort of an exaggeration. But
you're right. That's the, like, corridor of the attack.
Yeah, and it's like basically turning Texas into an independent country. Okay, Texas was an independent country. People in Texas, they speak a little funny. They say y'all.
It's the same argument. Well, Texas used to be somebody else.
Yeah, right. And so, you know, then you're like, okay, Russia is going to, like, arm the moderate Texans and, like, you know, give Texas, like, you know, air support and cover and, you know, create an anti-American ideology in Texas. And it's just like, why are you doing this? What possible need does an ordinary American who funds this operation, who pays their taxes every year, all of Central Europe? And the answer is there's no possible answer to that.
Well, that's it. NATO and the U.S. and all these global forces are setting up a satellite state and saying, we want to teach the kids LGBT. Did you see that?
Yeah, sure.
Which is exactly what Putin's saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's just like there's no. When you, as an American taxpayer, are basically funding this empire, okay, maybe a long time ago, there was a kind of this justification. Okay, well, we're going to export more cars to these countries or something. We're going to conquer them for a reason. But now it's just the scorpion doing its scorpion thing.
Well, the scorpion says, we're interested in your children.
The scorpion.
And people are like, okay, that's it. It's like, what?
The scorpion just
wants our children. The scorpion's saying they want our kids, and the MI6 goes, we want your kids.
Yeah, the scorpion, you know, because what the scorpion is made of, Alex, is the scorpion is made of ordinary, smart people, good people, wonderful people who have careers. And they want to get ahead in their careers. And the way you get ahead in your career in D.C. is by making an impact. And so basically.
That's right. So even if they lie once, well, I got bills, I'm going to lie, or I'm going to do this, I'm going to push, I'm going to put out fake intelligence and I'll get promoted.
Yeah, I'm going to I'm going to matter. I'm going to make an impact. And so, you know, it's like we were saying earlier, the people in D.C. who made the Arab Spring happen, who were like, we're going to start a civil war in Syria. We're going to start a civil war in Libya. We're going to try to start a civil war in Egypt and fail at that. You know, I mean, this has killed a million people, right? And it's like there's sort of no consequences from that. There's no, like, sense of, like, oh, wow, you did the wrong thing. You harmed people. And it's like at least the scorpion drowns. I mean, but
yeah, they never get in trouble for what they've done. So, Curtis Garvin, let me ask you this. What comes next in your view?
In the short term or the long term?
All of it, just real quick.
In the short term, I think Putin wins his war. I think that I think that that's giving a sort of bloody nose to the deep state is, like, much as I hate to see that happen and much as I, like, hate to see.
Oh, that's going to stir them up.
That's going to, yeah, but it's also like nobody likes to lose. And it's like, you know, losing in Afghanistan, you know, that was sort of a big thing because it was like, here's a spot on the map that the U.S. does not control and will never control. I don't have any really more sympathy for the Taliban than I have for Putin, but it's like, this is a foreign country. You know, Ukraine is a foreign country. Russia is a foreign country. And so.
So what does the deep state do when they get a bloody nose?
They sit and take it. And, like, for them to, like, it's really hard to sort of, like, when you, like, nobody's seen a global empire before ever. The closest thing in some ways is the Roman Empire. And so, you know, the Russians are kind of like the Parthians or the Persians next to our Roman Empire. They're this sort of foreign power that's kind of lesser than us in some ways, but very definitely foreign, and sort of for the U.S. to accept that there's sort of limits to our universal ambition is going to be very, very hard for these people in Washington. But I feel like if Xi and Putin kind of stick together, they can create the situation where it's like the U.S. has sort of no chance but to accept that kind of something has changed in the world. I don't know if they're.
Well, that's it. Well, only 5 more minutes, then I know you got to go, and I've got another guest host about to take over. Here, Gerald Celente, but the Afghans told us, the ones that were pro-U.S., they said, listen, trying to teach us that boys are girls and girls are boys, and trying to do that, that's why everybody turned against you in the villages. And it's the same thing. If the West was promoting Levi's and Coca-Cola, that made the Soviet Union fall, we would win. But it's not America. It's weird, pervert, Hollywood, pedophile stuff that the Eastern Europeans completely reject, so they're driving everyone into Putin's arms. So I've got to ask, is this being done on purpose, or are all the weird pedophiles around the State Department really, really into this?
It's the scorpion and the frog. It's like basically...
Hold on, stay there. Curtis Garvin, stay with us.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.